Remember what the Lord has done for us, won't we, church? And appreciate the good Lord and everything that He's done personally in my life. I can only testify of those things, but I'm sure you could testify. We could be here morning, noon, and night testifying of God's goodness to us. And so we appreciate the song this morning, and I want to welcome everyone once again to Calvary Baptist Church. It's so good to see each and every one of you. And thank you all for watching this morning by way of Facebook. And what a ministry Facebook has become through this time of pandemic. But nonetheless, we're excited to be here this morning, looking forward to see what the Lord might have for us. Happy Palm Sunday. Today is Palm Sunday, and this is the very day that would kick off, many call it, Holy Week, leading up to, of course, the death, the burial, and then the resurrection of Jesus. And so we are definitely excited about the resurrection, but we're excited about today. And when Jesus made His triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and they had the palm branches and all of that, and they kept saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna." Hosanna simply means, "Lord, save now." And I wonder if some of them, some of the people, some of the Jews thought that the Lord was going to actually overturn Roman rule, set up His kingdom now at that point. I'm sure many of them did. And the reason why He came then was for a much, much larger purpose, and that was to give His life on the cross for you and I. And then one day, after a while, set up His kingdom on earth. And so I say, Hosanna to the Lord this morning. Save now, come now. We are ready for you this morning. Our prayer list is, as I say, each and every week is growing. And it literally is doing that. I do want to mention three or four people this morning that need our prayers. On my way in this morning, Miss Mary Ann Sandy called me and said that Brother Ed had to go to the emergency room, possible stroke, and his face was drooping and it was numb. And so yesterday, Brother Ed had a great day. Had a great day yesterday. And Brother Ed is at the hospital, and so pray for him. I can't remember exactly when his next birthday is, 2 or 3 months from now, but he'll be 89 years old, Brother Ed. And just remember Brother Ed and Miss Mary Ann. Also this morning, found out by talking with Brother Snyder last week, Randy Bailey. Randy Bailey, this is his brother-in-law, his sister's husband, Janet, and he has cancer, and cancer in the blood. I actually conversed with him several times back and forth. Number one, is it okay to share this? A lot of people are sensitive to that. And what do I share? And so basically, what it is, it's a multiple, I guess it's myeloma, M-Y-E-L-O-M-A. Is that melanoma, is it? And but nonetheless, multiple myeloma, this is a type of cancer of the blood. And Brother Randy needs our prayers this morning. And Miss Janet. And so they've got to take a new journey themselves that they don't necessarily want to take. And so let's pray for them. Let's remember the Tidwell family. And that family is going through a lot right now. Brother Ben's going through a lot. I just found this out Friday night that his dad has a 50-50 chance of living right now. He's on life support, been battling COVID, and so the Tidwells need our prayers. Of course, continue to remember Leonard Palmer and his upcoming tumor that he's going to get taken care of, that malignant tumor behind his eye, and all of the ins and outs he has to do in order to get to surgery day. So let's remember the Palmers. Let's remember the children's home. Also, Harold Dolph is supposed to go this coming up Wednesday for his procedure. Well, he's had the he's been vaccinated, you know, the double vaccination, and they wanted him to take a test and said okay, but now he has to quarantine till the procedure day. So that's why he isn't here this morning. He wanted everybody to know that he wanted to be here, but he's following protocol. A couple more folks here. Miss Marcia Turner, Brother Snyder said it's okay to share this, that her, of course, a while back, she had a biopsy in her lung, and that came back clear. And so we praise the Lord for that. But she does have an issue in the lower chamber of her heart. But the good news is, the doctors are confident that medicine will help that. Medicine will help that. And so we are praying for Miss Marcia and family on that. Well, this morning, again, we have a lot of folks to pray for. And that didn't even touch the surface. But let's just remember one another in prayer. And let's remember the service this morning. Don't forget Easter. It's coming up Sunday in the parking lot. Looking forward to that. We got a lot to do as far as setup. And again, Brother Allen, is that Saturday 9 o'clock? Or,
yeah, Saturday 9 o'clock.
Okay. Anybody that wants to come can come to help for the setup of that Saturday at 9 o'clock. If I have one more thing to remember, I'm going to forget everything this morning to say. And oh, my goodness, I'm trying to get all these things ironed out and right. But Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, if you can come, that'll be a blessing. All right. You glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's just take a pause, a moment, a time out. Slow down, like Brother Snyder used to say during his prayer time. And let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And then we'll toss it back to Brother Allen. Lord, this morning we come in Jesus' name. And Lord, we're thankful for the path that you've placed us on. Lord, I know many this morning are here and they're thankful and grateful for the things that you've placed in their life, the people you've placed in their life. And sometimes our paths are twisted and got a lot of turns. There's highs and lows, Lord, on our paths, but we know that you're with us. When it's dark, we know that you are with us. You're leading us. You're guiding us. You're protecting us. Father, this morning we pray that you, the Good Shepherd, Lord, would just anoint us this morning. Give us a calm mind, Lord. Help us, Lord, to all of us, starting with me, relax and just know that you're in charge, you're in control. There's something you want to say today. God, I don't want to hinder that. I don't want to miss that. And your people have congregated together today, not just to be seen, but Lord, to worship you. And so, Father, I pray this morning that you would help us wait on you. Help us be, Lord, the glove that your hand comes inside and makes us able ministers. God, without your touch this morning, we are absolutely nothing. We are so reliant upon you this morning. From the singing, Lord, what's been sung already, we're reliant upon you for that. The singing that's going to be done, Lord, we're reliant upon you for that. And when it comes preaching time and teaching time, dear God, I am so reliant upon you. I know you have something to say. Let it be said this morning, and let it be plainly and easily understood. We pray for all of these on our prayer list, Lord. We could spend a week, literally, in-depth praying for each and every person. But we lift them all up to you this morning, especially Brother Ed in the hospital, Miss Mary Ann. We pray for Brother Randy, Bailey, and Janet. And, Lord, the things he has to deal with now, and could not imagine, Father. Work only like you can work in their situation, in their life. Father, we'll be careful to praise you for everything that you have done, everything that you're doing now, and everything that you're going to do. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to give a very big happy birthday this morning to Miss Lucille Turner. Today is her birthday. Not sure if she's on Facebook, but happy birthday.
Choir, would you stand? Church, would you stand with me this morning? And can we sing, "There's Something About the Name of Jesus"? Do you believe that this morning? Amen? Something about His name. Sing it again this morning. Just take your time. Just worship the Lord now.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus.
church. You can be seated. There is truly something about the name of Jesus. Let me just reiterate a little bit about next Sunday. We're very excited about Easter, the resurrection that we come to celebrate. Amen?
Amen.
And our service will be outside next Sunday morning. If you want to bring a chair, you're welcome to do that. If you want to stay in your car, you're welcome to do that as well. We'll start service next Sunday morning at 10:30. That will give us a little bit of extra time for the music and just a little bit extra time for pastor as well, and still get you out and off to your Easter egg hunt or whatever you plan to do next Sunday. Spending time with your family is the most important thing after service is over next Sunday morning. Be much in prayer. We've been working pretty hard for the past several weeks on our music, and you pray for us. And there's a song that goes right along with everything this morning, that is this, that we found victory at the foot of the cross.
I'm
Palm Sunday. Say amen.
Amen.
Man, I'd ask CJ, I said, it's Palm Sunday, isn't it? And I said, I thought I heard crickets chirping. But anyway, I know sometimes it's a struggle to get here, but we're here. And so let's celebrate the Lord. And looking forward to Easter next Sunday in the parking lot. Thank you, Brother Allen, for filling that out for me. And 87.9 on the radio dial. And so we're going to keep on advertising that. And if you've seen the bulletin this week, we're actually going to correct that number. We put the wrong radio station on there. But nonetheless, we're going to be on 87.9, and it's going to be a great day. Great, great day. We're confident in that. And thank you to everybody that has helped so far trying to fulfill this special day outside. This morning, for a few moments, we're going to be in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. And in just a moment, I want to read one verse. That's verse number 9. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 9 is going to be our verse this morning. I typically and routinely have a Palm Sunday type of message on Palm Sunday, but we felt led to go in a different direction, and so I pray that it'll be a blessing and a help to you, the content we share this morning. 1 Peter chapter number 2, notice if you would in verse number 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's going to be our main verse this morning, and the actual launching pad of the message. The carousel. Has anybody ever heard of that word carousel? Merry-go-round is another way of saying carousel, another word for it. But down through the ages of time, when it comes to amusement, when it comes to the family having a night of fun, down through the ages of time, the amusement park, you'll find a carousel. And a carousel basically consists of this: getting on and going in circles, getting back off right where you started, and there's supposed to be some kind of amusement in that process. I guess it really is amusing for the number of years that the carousel has actually been out. But get on, get off, right where you got on at, that's the carousel. This morning, as we look into this verse, we actually see that God has, the moment a person trusts Jesus as their Savior and through faith and repentance accepted Him, the Lord has called us out of something and into something. Notice if you would again, let's read the whole verse, verse number 9. Peter says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that's a connecting word. So he is telling us what we are, and now he's getting ready to tell us what we're to do. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you, notice these next two words, out of, and then darkness, out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so Peter is painting a picture for us. And he's telling us that those that are saved, there's supposed to be a change in your life. There's supposed to be a change in my life. And there will be when someone genuinely comes to the place where they realize that they fall guilty of God's standards and there's nothing they can do to reach a place where a person's good works, their good works would, you know, counterbalance the bad that they do. And the Bible says that the law was a schoolmaster, actually, to bring us to Christ. And so when a person does that and experiences genuine Bible salvation, they have repented, not so much of their sins as they have their sin in general, and has received by faith the gift of God. And there are some changes that will take place. There will be an exodus, I like to call it, out of the old life and into the new life. Let me say this. Of course, this is our introduction this morning. But there are some things that happen immediately, and you know that. The moment a person gets saved, their position changes. Their position with Christ, as before salvation, they were at odds with the Lord. They were enmity. There was enmity. There was a wall of partition between us and God. But all of that has been demolished, and there is now liberty for the child of God to go before Father God through the Son of God. And so we know positions and things. We are now children of God, those that are saved. Before, the Bible says, in essence, through a conversation with some of the Pharisees in one of the Gospels, that we were a child of the devil. And we can definitely see that those who are not saved, those who are living in this world and according to the world system, they definitely have the characteristics of Satan. But those of us that are saved, that have accepted Jesus as our Savior, there will be not only positional changes, we're children of God, but there will be practical changes. There will be this exodus out of. I think about Moses as he led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Pharaoh had let the people go. And so Moses was leading Egypt, the children of Israel. That's why we have the book of Exodus, because it's their exodus out of Egypt and into Canaan land. And we see that eventually, not on Moses' clock they made it, but down the road they made it. And so there was this coming out of and going into. No different than Christianity in this year we're living in, 2021. The Lord has called all of us. The Lord has emplaced in all of us a desire for newness of life. The Lord has placed within us a yearning. He has placed within the believer a strong passion for things not to be the same. He has placed within us this going after, if you would, new grounds, if you would. The Lord has placed within all of the hearts of all of the believers this inability really to stay the same. And this would, of course, explain why there's so many defeated Christians. It's because they know they need to change. They know they need to progress. They know they need accountability, but they're not doing it. And so if they're not progressing, they are regressing. And we see this morning that we are to be people of change. And the Lord certainly does that through His Holy Spirit. He changes us along life's journey from strength to strength, from grace to grace, from faith to faith. And this morning I want to actually just mention a few things to you that some of these in the Bible experienced as they were used of the Lord mightily. As you read your Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you'll find that God used all kinds of people. And there are some common things we can find this morning. There are some common things that we can find, for example, in the life of Abraham as he left Ur of the Chaldees. And, of course, we fast forward a little bit and we go into the life of Gideon and how he was used and the things he accomplished in the strength of the Lord. And on we go into the New Testament. We have Paul and and a Barnabas and all of the other great men and women of God. I want to say that they themselves said farewell to the carousel. These people in the Bible, these men and women of the Lord, they didn't want to be like this merry-go-round or be on a merry-go-round. They didn't want to get on and get off and at the same spot where they got on and having gone in circles their whole life. Of course, I don't think there was any carousels in Bible days. But nonetheless, the principle is there. They, by the time when they got saved and trusted Jesus as their Savior, there was this desire to change. This morning, are you happy with the place you're at spiritually? I mean, where you're at in your own walk with the Lord, are you drinking from your saucer this morning? I know it's not all about feelings. We're not always running around and shouting. And listen, it's not all emotions. In fact, we can't even rely on our emotions. They vary so much. We rely on the truth of God's Word. But at the end of the day, can we lay our head on our pillow and reflect back on the day and say, you know, it was a tough day, but it was a good day. And now I'm going to sleep and getting ready to start a new day tomorrow. And I can confidently say, I have trusted Jesus and followed Him with all my heart. It's not all about, again, that high on the mountain feeling, but it's simply about trusting the Lord and allowing Him to lead us and guide us and change us every step of the way. This morning, I actually want to preach on that title, if I could. That is, Farewell to the Carousel. Have you been going in circles for a while in your Christian life? Those watching this morning, has there been any real change lately? Has there been an exodus out of some old things? And has there been some joy out of some new things? We're always to be people of progression, relying on the Holy Spirit to change us. I wonder this morning if there's anybody that's ready to say farewell to the carousel. Number one this morning, as we reflect back on many of these Bible stories and Bible characters, there's one thing in common that was among all of them that allowed them to be used greatly of the Lord and to progress spiritually. Number one, from Genesis to Revelation, all of those who were used, they all had a goal. They all had a goal. They had something in their life that they went after. They weren't stagnant. They weren't complacent. But they were always, always projecting themselves. They were always thinking ahead. Now, this comes easy for some people, but others it's hard. You're looking at somebody where this is a hard thing to do. It's to constantly look ahead. Because when we're talking about goals and we're looking ahead, we know we have to self-examine so that we can actually do what we're thinking about doing. There's accountability when it comes to goals and everything else that comes along with it. But all of these in the Bible, the disciples in the New Testament, those that were the first to follow the Lord, they all had a goal in mind. Everybody in the Old Testament too. Something that they were going after. What are you going after this morning? What are you going after in your own spiritual life? Or is your spiritual life, again, those watching, is it just, okay, I've gone to Sunday morning service. Now I'm going back home. I'm getting off of the carousel. Same place that I started. What is it like for you in your spiritual life? Are you happy with where you're at? Are you waiting on the ministry here at Calvary to be fully back in before you are fully dedicated? Guess what? You have to be able to connect to your God at all times, regardless of what Calvary does, regardless of what any other church does. Because, you see, it may be a little while longer for Calvary. It may be longer than anticipating right now, maybe shorter, I don't know. But what are you going to do? None of us can ride on the coattail of Brother Snyder that was here for so many years. Just like I can't ride on the coattail of Brother Berman that was at Floyd Road for so many years. And I thank God for him in that ministry there. But guess what? There came a point in time where I had to learn to walk with the Lord myself. Regardless of what anybody else does, regardless if things are the same or not at church or home or work, I'm going to be different. I'm going to forge ahead. I don't care what my friend does. I don't care what those do at church. They can do what they want to do. But I'm going on with Jesus. I'm going to stay in tune, and I'm going to stay plugged in to Him, because He, Jesus, He's the life-giving source. Remember in the book of John, chapter number 15, where Jesus is talking about the vine and the branches? And in essence, Jesus says this. Well, He does say, abide in me, and I in you. So immediately He starts to talk about relationship. And He starts to talk about there has to be this abiding with me or in me. You say, what's abiding mean? Abiding means to stay with. It means to be constant. It means to go after. Later on in chapter number 15 of John, He says, without me, you can do nothing. Boy, I've tried that before, Brother Allen. I'm telling you, there has been some times trying to preach without the Lord, trying to witness without the Lord, trying to do anything without Him. It's hard on the flesh. And so He says, and He stresses over and over in John 15 about this idea of abiding. Realizing you need Him. Not just on Sunday morning. Not just Facebook Live Sunday night. Not just Facebook Live Wednesday night. But you need Him Monday through Sunday. He has to be your everything. He has to be your freight train, and you're connected to Him. But yeah, He has to be the one who pulls the load. He has to be the one that's sought after. We must surrender daily. And each day that we awake and start our day, let us not hold on to yesterday. All of the guilt, all of the things we should have done, could have done, but didn't do, we have to let all of those things go in order to chase after Jesus. I want to say these people of the Bible, they chased after the Lord. Why? They had a goal. Not only they had that desire, but they had a goal, something they were going after. Listen to this. Proverbs 29 and verse number 18. Many of you can probably quote it. Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. How about that? And you could really interpret that one or three ways, but we're just going to look at it at face value. Where there is no sight, where there is no vision, where there is no looking beyond today and into tomorrow and the week after and the month and year, if there is nothing you're striving toward, there's nothing you're going after, if you just wake up and you get on this carousel and by nighttime you get off in the very same place you started spiritually, if that's you this morning, you can be looking for some perishing in your life. Your spiritual life will decline if you're not abiding in Him and have some healthy goals in mind. Spiritual life. Psalms even tells us there's a physical aspect to this that we can start to decline in. Not walking with God like we should, not praying or abiding in Him is very taxing upon the body, physically and spiritually. So this morning we see that we got to have vision, we got to have something we're going after. What about Noah? Noah had a goal, didn't he? Noah had a goal, and he was given this command by God to build an ark, didn't he? And so Noah had a goal. He had something that he went after. How long did it take him to complete it? 120 years, most believe. And I'm sure there were times where he felt like, what's the use? There were times where he had to tell his family, don't pay attention to them laughing and saying we're doing all this for nothing. Because on the day that it began to rain, and they all went into the ark, his family, and after 7 days the door was shut. Then after all the rain came the flood. The waters went away, abated, and they stepped out on dry ground. They owned everything. It took 120 years, but they were consistent. It took 120 years, but they were faithful. It took a real long time to follow God's plan, but they had something they were going after, and it sustained them for 120 years. Sometimes it's hard to make it through a single day if you don't have anything in your life good going for you that you feel good going for you. It's hard to make it through a single day without any kind of goals, any kind of ambitions, any kind of inspiration. It's hard to make it through a single day. But isn't it something when we pray and we ask God for a God goal? And just like Noah, it can pull him 120 years through such a crazy time that he lived. I mean, people were sinful like they are today. People were mocking him, I'm sure, like they are today. But yet 120 years because he had a goal. But you see, it only takes a day of struggle when there's nothing we have in front of us. It only takes minutes and hours to fall into a place of discouragement where we look around and we say, there's nothing going for me. Yeah, I know I'm saved, but I'm doing nothing. Or I'm not happy with how things are at church, not just Calvary, but church worldwide because of this pandemic. It's easy to fall into a place of discouragement, and then it develops into depression. It's hard to make it through a single day with nothing in front of you. Church led us, and I know you are already. You have been so faithful through this time, those watching. But let us, as God's people, have some goals in mind. Look, we may not even achieve the goals that we have in our own lifetime. It may be through our kids or grandkids one day that some of these family goals are achieved. But they will pull us through life. It's accountability. It's something to be proud of that you're striving toward. You have a goal. Man, it's good to have goals in mind. I once heard this theologian by the name of Reverend Snyder Turner once say, he said, we do our best. What's the rest of it? You probably know it, I'm sure. When we have a goal in mind. Something that you're going after. Where there is no vision, the people perish. We looked at Noah. Then there's Nehemiah. We could spend all day on each and every one of these. What did Nehemiah do? Nehemiah had a goal of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. A great goal. And then what about Paul in the New Testament? Paul had a goal of planting churches. The seven churches of Asia Minor, guess who planted them? Paul did. Paul was goal-minded. He was one who was on his way, literally, to kill Christians. And then God knocked him on his back, and he understood who it was. Then he said, Lord, capital L, what will thou have me to do? And he went from this murderer to this messenger. And so we're looking back now, and we're beneficiaries of all the letters that Paul had, all the epistles of Paul, the Pauline epistles, all the churches of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3. All of those. Paul had some goals in mind. We need some goals this morning. How was your goals for your own spiritual life? Well, you read one verse a day. You know, read two verses a day. If your prayer life is like a lot are, and I've experienced this as well, you pray one day and You really engage in prayer, and you feel different. You know you've obeyed. Maybe you didn't do it the next day. And then you did the other day. Maybe a kind of on and off kind of prayer life. Maybe really, really commit to praying every day for a week and then taking a couple days off. Yeah, I said take a couple days off. But what I mean by that, I don't mean desert your prayer life. What I mean is trying to build a consistent prayer life. This flesh can't stand to pray. You know that. That's why Paul, he prayed three times for that thorn to be removed. It was still there. Build your prayer life. Build your Bible reading. Some people don't even read the Bible because they wake up in the morning and they look at it and like, man. This is what I do. I find a place, maybe that's on my heart, my mind, or I just began reading, but I find one verse or one word, or there's a thought that I've had during the day. And when I get into the Word, I don't go trying to knock out, you know, the whole book of Hebrews and make application and ready to preach it on Sunday morning. No, I just find one verse in Hebrews. For example, Hebrews 12 in verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He had a goal. Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. One verse. And particularly this verse, Jesus had his goal. And Jesus endured to the end. And thank the Lord that he did because of his goal and his accomplishing of that goal. Not that he could be deterred from his goal, but he achieved that goal. And thank God that he did. Because on the third day, he rose again. And because he rose again, it set Christianity in front of any kind of religion. We don't have religion, we have relationship. Anybody could die on a cross. Anybody. Nobody except Jesus could raise themselves from the grave. That's what separates us from all the rest. Not only do we have a Savior willing to go to the cross, but we have one where it was prophesied that he would rise again. And he did. What about that this morning? You see, sometimes it trickles down to just having small goals of Bible reading and prayer and build on that. Now, don't go tell anybody I said desert the weekends on your prayer life. Y'all know that that's not what I'm trying to say. Sometimes you got to fool your own flesh. But you got to have those goals, and sometimes start with things specifically, primarily in the spiritual realm. But nonetheless, start small and let momentum build and rejoice in those small goals. Rejoice in, what was it one time went to me, and actually it was me and Brother Brian and Brent went to some kind of, I don't know, having to do with business and all. I had no idea what I was doing there. But the speaker said this. He said a lot of people desert their plan or goal because they're looking so far down the road. He says it's like a football game. Celebrate those first downs. Celebrate them. You get 5 yards, celebrate those 5 yards, Brother Larry. You're down and the other team is winning and, you know, we're trying to envision this. They're winning, and we need, you know, so many touchdowns. You get a first down, celebrate that first down. You achieve something in your life on a particular day. You read your Bible, a verse, a chapter, a book. You set out to do that goal. You achieved it. Celebrate that. We need to celebrate those first downs. We need to celebrate this morning the yards that are earned. Because it's progressing us toward the goal, toward the goal line. So this morning we see that all of these people, There was Noah. There was Nehemiah in the walls. There was Paul in the churches. And then we just mentioned Jesus in the cross. Let me mention something else this morning. Not only we see that they all had goals in common, but number two, there was a going. There was a going forth in their life. They didn't just have a goal as you read and look into the lives of these men and women, but there was actually a going forth in their life. When the goal was in place, then the going forth was in motion to fulfill that goal. Noah, 120 years. You and I, who knows? Depends on the goal. When the goal is in place, then there's the starting point. We all have to start somewhere. When it came to Noah, what did he say? And I believe it's Genesis chapter number 6. He tells Noah to go for wood. I got used to saying gopher wood, like go for wood. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. That was the first step. And we get around to reading where Noah had to apply what they call pitch to that ark. And pitch is like almost like a tar or a slime. It seals in the cracks where the gopher wood meets. Number one, he needed that gopher wood, that particular kind, because God said so. But he needed the pitch just as importantly. What would have happened if they got out there, they went to the ark, and the ark closed, started raining, earth was filling up. And what happens if Noah did everything he meant to go by Home Depot and get that pitch, but he just forgot? And now he's in a jam. He built the ark. He followed everything to the jot and tittle. But all of a sudden, one of the kids says, "Daddy, this thing's leaking." "What? What do you mean it's leaking?" All of a sudden, he's like, "Oh, no. Oh, no, I procrastinated. I should have went. I should have went the very day I was going to." That pitch was important because this ark wouldn't have floated like it did. And every step of the way, 120 years, there is much detail that God has for us. Much detail. Don't miss any of His details, but also have that goal in mind. We see that all these men, they had a goal, but then they had a going forth when they put it into play. And much of the time when they were going forth to break ground on their new goal, the going would get tough. We have that saying, don't we? When the going gets tough, the tough get going. So we see all of that played out in the life of Noah, how things got tough. And Nehemiah, things got tough. You remember when they were just starting on the walls? Nehemiah chapter number 4, verse number 1 through 6. The enemy showed up. Sambalay, I believe is one of their names. And Tobiah. And they came and they ridiculed the work that Nehemiah was doing and said all of these things that would try to get inside their heads and tear down their confidence. In one of those verses, it's in Nehemiah 4, verse 1 through 6. He says, one of the enemy says, "Even if a fox walk on the wall, it'll fall over." And so we see that's the works of the devil. Every time we try to do something, expect there to be voices of negativity from the evil one. What are you doing? Why are you trying? You've got a goal in mind? Oh, you're going to desert that goal on day two. Think of all the goals you tried to accomplish, all the things you had in front of you, and you failed every time. No difference than the book of Nehemiah chapter number 4. Nehemiah prayed. And at the conclusion of chapter number 4, the Bible says that the people had a mind to work. You see, whatever affects the leader, if the leader's not right, it'll affect the people. Nehemiah prayed and he left the complaint, he left the situation with the Lord, and he asked for resources. He asked for strength to take care of this project, this goal. Started with him and everybody else. They strengthened their hands for this good work. Are you ready to work for the Lord this morning? Say amen. Amen. Let me mention something else and we'll be through. We see there was a going forth, and there was many, many times where the going forth got tough, but the tough had to keep going. The only reason why we're tough is because God's grace makes us tough. But lastly, there was a glory you'll find. When it comes to all of these heroes of the Bible, a glory. Noah built that ark and replenished the earth. God started with his family. And so we see in 1 Peter, you can look at it later, chapter 3, verse 20, 21. His family was the only family that was saved. Nehemiah built that wall and protected Jerusalem. Paul built the early churches. We're in church this morning because of a goal someone followed through with. And Jesus built the stairway to heaven. And that is through his blood he shed upon the cross. My idea this morning, my main thrust of the message is this: simply this. I prayed, and I pray and will continue to pray, Lord, let me not be on a carousel. Just, I get on, wake up each day, going in circles, go to church on Sunday. Feels like the same thing over and over. Nothing really happening. Daily life, home life, family life. Lord, let not my life be a carousel where I get on each day and get off of the same place, not really going anywhere, just in circles for my so-called amusement. Let us this morning, all of us, starting with me, say farewell to the carousel and to know that God will use us and has been and will continue. Let us just tighten our grip and keep moving forward. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for who you are. Lord, we thank you for the things that you do. God, thank you for all of these in the Bible we have that gives us hope for things in our life to be accomplished. Lord, we know that you want to use your people. God, if you could use a murderer, if you could use a tax collector, Lord, if you could use just the old wretched sinner, Lord, you can surely use us. This morning, I pray that you'll give liberty in the invitation. Help us be better than we were before we came, with goals in mind, hand to the plow, not looking back, trusting in you. We love you. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.